You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It's time for us now to get into our next segment. I did promise that we're going to have the pastor who is already standing by to answer our question for today. It's 23 minutes before one, by the way. Our pastor is Pastor Kelvin Nyandoro. He's joining us to give us an answer for your questions. Remember, this segment is dedicated to you. It's meant for you. If you have any questions, please send them through and my producer will find you a pastor who is going to answer your questions. And I undertake to ask those questions with the best knowledge that I have and from all the perspectives that I imagine you may have meant when asking your questions. It's a bit, well, discouraging to not have you, the person who's asking the question, come through so that you can clarify your questions sometimes. But nonetheless, we try and deconstruct what you meant, and then we construct what we think we understand, and then get into it. Like I said, Pastor Kelvin Nyandoro joins us on the line to give us some perspective on our question for today. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Afternoon, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Our question for today, is it wrong for someone to prioritize their personal happiness over following biblical commands?
You see, that's the dilemma which we often find ourselves in, between the value of decision, choosing to do what makes you happy,
right,
and following the biblical commands. And sometimes you feel like the Bible is infringing you somehow. You feel like you are limited, but the Bible also has something to say about such. There are moments you feel like partying will make me happy. I have heard some who would say wine will make me merry. I will be more joyous.
And the Bible says so itself.
Yes. I will be more joyous and I will be more happy,
right,
than just praying and do not do this, do not do that. But the book of 1 John chapter 2, I'll just read it in your hearing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, it has this to say, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. You see, when John was writing during those around AD 90, always the Christians of those times, they were always conflicted. They also asked that very same question. So it's normal to have such kind of a question to say, should I prioritize my happiness over the biblical principles? But here the Bible is saying, the things of the world, they fade away. The pride of life, you see, in our modern day generation, one of the things which makes us happy, the happiness of the world, you need to drive the most expensive Mercedes-Benz, the most expensive Toyota, the most expensive this. And people begin to say, he has made it or she has made it in this life. And you be happy wherever you arrive. And people would say, finally, the man has arrived. Finally, that woman has arrived. Those are the pleasures of this world, and they make us to live in that seemingly fantastic world. But one thing for sure, everything will fade away. It is not permanent. That is why you would see, even the books of history will tell us there was this businessman, but he died. And his wealth disappeared, vanished, and it was inherited by others. Now, so-and-so is now on the climax of business, but there's going to come a time when everything shall vanish from you. So prioritizing your personal happiness over the things of spiritual matter, it's more like you are putting all your investment in tomatoes. One day they will perish. One day they will rot. But if you invest in the Lord, you know for sure that your happiness and your salvation is guaranteed, and the things of the Lord will not fade away. We can even take for an example, my elder. Just imagine those who were in Gaza, those who were prioritizing happiness, buying expensive vehicles, building luxurious houses from imported materials, and all of a sudden you just hear some bombs, and the bombs are detonating. You remain with nothing and nothing. You see, it also poses to us. And at the end of the day, you begin to hear that all what you valued is now rubble. They need to clear that rubble and dump it somewhere else. And that's where you have been investing. That's where your mind has been. Everything just within the twinkling of an eye, it just turns into dust and rubble. So we should strike a balance. How do we strike a balance? The Bible does not want us to believe in a life of misery, a life of pitiness. But the moment we become followers of Christ, He also wants us to live our lives in full. How do we live our lives in full? Whenever we have resources, we should put God first. Whatsoever I do, I should always question myself, where is God in my daily business? Where is God in my daily profits? Where is God in my family? Where is God when I am happy? The most important question which we should ask ourselves each time you decide to do something, ask yourself, if Christ was here with me, would He also participate in my project? Would He participate in whatsoever I'm doing? So if you figure out the answer, you would know to say, I think I should carry on, or I think I should quit. That's not the right way. If I answered you correctly.
I want to give you an example, Mfundis, and then perhaps you can speak to the example as well. One problem that we have seen in Christianity is that Christianity is the one faith out of all the Abrahamic faiths. And by Abrahamic faiths, I'm referring to the original one, which is Judaism, then Christianity, then Islam, and then the Baha'i faith. It has the biggest number of divorces. And out of 100% of the divorces that occur within Christianity, 78% of those divorces are initiated by women. And of those that were initiated by women, most of the reasons are not necessarily adultery. It's irreconcilable differences. And when you listen to them explaining these irreconcilable differences, they say, if he doesn't make me happy, I'm going to make myself happy.
Okay.
I didn't get into this marriage to be unhappy. If he doesn't make me happy, I will go find happiness. My happiness comes first. Self-love, queen, self-love. How do you respond to this booming population of Christians who are preaching self-love? And if there is no happiness, love yourself, queen, and walk away with your sanity. With your mental health, queen, walk away from that marriage. It's better to walk away from that marriage than to stay and tamper with your mental health, queen. So the big issue that they're putting forward, Mfundis, is mental health. How do you respond to this argument that says, instead of losing your mental health, you must walk away from that marriage if that marriage is going to tamper with your mental health?
This is a one of the most complicated questions. You see, The challenge we often come across with Christianity is that we usually want to be called Christians on the day of attending church.
Mm.
If you go to church on Sunday, that's when you would say, "Today I'm a better Christian." When you are a Sabbath keeper, you would say, "Today I'm also a better Christian."
Right.
But during the weekdays, we identify ourselves with the world. What's the way we eat, the way we dress, the way we drink? There is no difference with, especially Christians. There is no difference with the world. You can't distinct to say this one is a Christian and this one is not a Christian. The reason why the marriages within the Christian cycles seems to be, the divorce rate seems to be high, is one of the reasons is that we are nominal Christians. We just attend church for just some social identification, to say social affiliation. People usually say it's not normal for you not to have a church, at least have a church, so that whenever you have one of the misfortunes in life, you lose your family, remember, you do this, at least you have some people who would come to pray for you.
Is it nominal Christianity to take care of your mental health, Pastor? Are you being a nominal Christian if you're going to look out for your mental health? Because that's the very argument that comes out of these responses. And I don't know if we would be fair to address people who are taking care of their mental health as being nominal Christians. Just address that. Is a person who says, "I am looking out for my mental health," is that person a nominal Christian?
No. Now, let me come to the mental health aspect. You see, mental health is really a challenge. And as a church, we should take action in order to address that. Sometimes you are in church and the mind is not present. People have their own different issues, which needs to be addressed. Even Jesus, when he was preaching the other time, may I remind you that a certain gentleman came and interrupted the conversation and said, "Master, tell my brother to share the proceeds from our inheritance, to share with me." He was attending the service, but the mental health was not so well. So even today, we do have members who comes to church, but their mental health issues are not well. How do we come to terms with our mental health? You see, the term irreconcilable, to some extent, does not augur well with our Christian belief.
Absolutely.
With our Christian belief.
Absolutely.
Because the moment we identify ourselves with Christ, we are saying we sinned to such an extent that we were beyond reconciliation. There was nothing good in us that Christ would admire in order to save us. But it was only through his love and his love alone that he decided to come and deal with us. The moment he forgave us, he died on the cross for us, he forgave us. After forgiving us, and we continue to stumble, and he doesn't give up on us. So the moment we begin to say, "I am a follower of Christ, but I see forgiveness being difficult for me," it also poses a question of faith to say, "Am I really a true disciple of Christ in whatsoever I do?" I'm trying to imagine, because Christ, he forgives us. Today you do something wrong, sometimes willfully, then you come to him. That is what he states in the book of 1 John.
Yeah.
He says, "My little children, I write these things unto you that you may not sin." You may not what? You may not sin. But if you do sin, know that we have an advocate. who is Christ, our mediator, who intercedes for us to the Father on our behalf. So you see, Christ himself, if we take him as our role model, there is no circumstance, there is no issue which I would say this issue is beyond resolution.
Right.
This issue is beyond reconciliation, because
right.
I take it from Christ himself, who says, "Son, I know that you have committed adultery, but let me hold your hand. I know that you have fall short of my glory.
Oof.
Let me hold your hand for the other time." So you see, the challenge which we do have is that it comes to the aspect of understanding and to the aspect of communication. It plays a bigger role. It plays a bigger role when you hear people say, oftentimes you hear people say, "Our issues are irreconcilable." It's just the matter of communication. Communication is not being done properly. The two members are not communicating to each other. That is why you would also say, I'm not so specific of the figures. You would also come to realize that even those second marriages, you leave the first marriage to say, "I want to prioritize my happiness."
Yeah.
You go to the second marriage, it collapses again.
Yeah.
Why does it collapse?
Yay!
If you are after your happiness. The other article which I read sometime, they were saying second marriage is about 70% of the second marriages they break up again.
Oh.
And in most cases, they break up again. So sometimes the things which we tend to see, I would also put some element of blame on media.
Okay.
You see, by beholding, you become changed.
That's
the
right.
The things which entertains us daily.
Yeah.
The Indian movies, the episodes, the Mvango, and they seem to fantasize marriage. They seem to fantasize every aspect, and you would see, "Oh, this husband is so sweet.
Wow.
He comes home and he kisses the wife and he does this and he does that." But little did you know that those guys, they take time to practice all that. And it's just for the camera. If cameras are off, they are back to normal life. They live the way they do. The other time, I remember another article which used to say, another lady at a shopping mall admired a man who was opening a door for his wife.
Mm.
So that the wife would enter into the car, and he says to his husband, "You see, these are real gentlemen.
Oui.
For you, you just let me get into my car, get into the car. You don't even open the door for me." So the gentleman had decided, the lady decided to ask the husband, the wife, to say, "What did you do exactly to your husband so that he would open even a door for you to enter into the car?" He said, and the wife responded to say, "You know, our door is a challenge. He tried to get it fixed to the mechanic, but they are seemingly too busy to attend to that. That's why he is the one opening the door. He has the skill. He knows where exactly to press the
yeah.
button so that I would enter comfortably."
All right.
So what seems to be romantic sometimes, it's not always like that.
I hear you.
So that is the challenge. So the challenge which we face today is that we tend to admire things which are seemingly better, which are outside. But why don't we create the environment we want?
Yeah.
As a counselor, I always tell people to say, sometimes you are running away from problems. You conclude to say, "This partner is a bad person," but you go and find another one. That other person is also a bad person. So I always say, why don't you become a good person yourself?
Yeah.
Why don't you focus on changing your behavior, your attitude, instead of changing partners? Your behavior, do a self-introspection. What is it which I need to forgive? What are certain things which I need to let go? Because some of the issues which we tend to magnify, they are just small matters. I'm not saying all matters are small, but
right.
there are certain small matters which we tend to magnify
right.
in some instances. The moment you are out, you begin to see that it was not really an issue.
Yeah.
I've
heard you loud and clear. So you're saying it is wrong to prioritize personal happiness as opposed to following biblical commands. Follow biblical commands and you will be happy. I'm done. Thank
yes,
you very much.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mfunis. Have a wonderful day further. Wow. Okay. Pastor Kelvin Yandora coming through right here, knocking it out of the park, quite literally, even with a cricket ball. It too applies. He knocked it out of the park.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.